Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, so here we go. Let's do it. It's a Monday. It means it's Monday. Like, that's the day after Sunday, right before Tuesday. It's Monday. Right, Al?
Oh, hi, Jerry. Yeah, I had an interesting Saturday evening. So Gina, many years ago, Jerry, in the 90s, when she was a teenager, and when she was in her very early 20s, she competed in beauty pageants like Miss Teen New Jersey, Miss New Jersey, this sort of thing. So over the years, every now and then, she helps a female contestant who's running in a pageant thing, like she volunteers and helps.
Yep.
And there's a girl in Belmar who was who was just Miss New Jersey within the Miss America pageant. She was running for Miss DC. Now she goes to college in Georgetown, so running for Miss DC for Miss USA.
Okay.
So there are two different pageants, right? There's Miss America, Miss USA. Miss America, Jerry, over the years has eliminated the swimsuit competition.
All right.
Right? They put a lot more emphasis on interview. You know, they're very...
the person themselves.
They're very PC. So right. You might have a Miss America who is not the typical beauty pageant beauty.
Understood.
Miss USA, on the other hand, is more old school. They do bikinis, you know, bathing suit competitions, all this sort of thing. So this girl went from being Miss New Jersey, now she's running for Miss DC. So Gina has still been helping this contestant. So Gina wanted to watch and live stream the Miss DC pageant.
Okay.
So I got to participate and watch.
Okay.
So on the Saturday evening, there were four pageants going on at one time on the stage. There was Miss Teen DC, Miss DC, Miss Teen Virginia, and Miss Virginia. So it was fun to be able to critique women in front of Gina. And I was allowed to do it.
But just you two in the room.
It was just us two in the room. Right. But I was able to comment on women's butts, chests, overall beauty, and she could say nothing about it.
That was the whole point, right?
Yes. And there were times, Jerry, when I caught myself and Gina said, you know, that's a teenager.
Oh.
You know, I'd be like, she's not working out her butt enough, you know, doing that sort of thing. But it was interesting. It was interesting to see who runs for pageants these days.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is no longer just a beauty pageant. They're called pageants now, Jerry. They're not beauty pageants.
Yeah.
So there are women up on the stage that you would not think would be in the running for a Miss USA.
Well, I did see that the SI swimsuit model issue is out, I believe.
Yes.
And it's what we were talking
about
last
week.
It's
got no buzz, by the way.
And that's, we were discussing this last week. And there's just a complete blend of different women, all shapes, sizes, so good for them, as
all
they would
shapes
say.
And sizes. Victoria's Secret, Jerry.
Yeah. Is that what I was thinking of? Was it VS?
No, it's both.
Well, is it both that are on now?
Both
okay.
Very recent.
Right.
Victoria's Secret is redoing their whole image to focus on all sorts of bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are all sorts of bodies out there. We know that.
Oh, yeah. But I got to think, like, for Miss America, there's a big thing about, like, talent, right? You have mm-hmm. to have a talent.
Right.
And Miss USA. Yeah. Miss USA does not have this. Miss USA is still like, how do I look in a bikini
right.
and a tight gown and in athletic wear?
Oh, okay.
They wear athletic wear also,
like
which is like
spandex shorts. And I got to tell you that I've something we also discussed last week that has become, I mean,
spandex shorts
and the bra top.
Yes.
My Lord.
That's an outfit now.
It is. Like we went out.
No matter your shape or size, Jerry.
Doesn't matter. We went out and said, that wasn't even the pie. Yes, you're right. We went out with friends Saturday night, and it was a bring-your-own place. And so me and my buddy went left to the liquor store while the girls went to make sure we had the table. And we're walking into the liquor store, and a girl's walking out, I would say around 30, give or take a year or two, probably a little younger than 30, but right around there, in tip-top shape, in black spandex shorts that were short. They weren't down to the thigh. I mean, they were short. And a very skimpy black spandex top.
Yeah.
And a bra top. With okay. Like, wow. I don't even know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's ridiculous.
It is. It okay. is quite ridiculous. And
I say all the time, thank God I don't have daughters. And my wife gets mad at me when I say it, but I mean it. I couldn't.
Yeah, it would be trouble.
Oh, my God. Poor G's got two of them. Good Lord.
Yep.
What the hell is it going to be like when they're 17 and 18? Oh.
I know. This is what I'm saying, Jerry. But when I was watching this on Saturday evening, and in the beginning they do, first they come out in, I'm trying to think what their first outfit might just be, like a dress. It's a okay. regular dress.
Yeah.
Not evening gown. This is like the, hey, da-da-da, mm-hmm. we're the girls for Miss D.C., and I danced around. There were some women on stage. I was like, they've got to be thinking about the bathing suit section of this because you're getting in a bikini.
Right, sure.
And some of them were not in bikini
shape yet.
Modeling shape.
Yeah.
Whereas with Miss America, you know, you got the talent, you got the interviews, you got. So it was just, I was trying to think, like, what would that feel like to be on the stage? And I was wondering, like, if I wanted to, like, sometimes our bodies limit us in things, right? Like, mm-hmm. could I, in this day and age now where you really can't say no to people, could I join a bodybuilding competition?
Sure you could.
And go on, but I'm not muscular.
You're not going to win.
But I could, but I can go and.
You can participate.
I can participate.
I'm sure you can pay the money and participate. Yeah, of course. And if you show up looking soft and saggy, you'll be the first one cut.
I don't know.
But doesn't mean you're not allowed. There's no reason you can't go.
But in fact, but the women that I was watching in this pageant Saturday night, they had all won regional.
Right. Well, I'm sure that you have to. There are steps to take to get to.
Right. So I'm saying that there were women going to try to become Miss DC, Miss Virginia, in the Miss USA pageant that were not in physical shape.
Right.
And they won their competitions. I don't know. It's weird that, you know, like being.
Why don't you join up for Mr. Universe?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I couldn't join up Mr. Universe.
There have to be preliminaries. Like, that's got to.
Right. But the women that I was watching won the preliminaries.
Right.
Didn't just participate.
Depends on what the criteria is.
They won them.
Right. There's
one of the criteria is being in a swimsuit.
Well, there's got to be other criteria that outweighed it for the judges.
At
the end of the day, some people are still losing.
Right.
Like I don't know why they won and the others lost. Who knows?
Like the girl that Gina was coaching. Had a nice butt, Jerry. Muscular.
Right.
Good. Like, she was in perfect physical shape.
Right, sure. I believe it. But you're talking about a competition that's not solely based on how you look physically.
I thought the Miss USA was. I knew Miss America had changed their situation.
With what you're talking about, it is solely based on your strength and your look.
Right.
You know, that's
like Miss USA.
It'd be very difficult for you to get to where you're talking about. But you could go to a prelim
But yeah, like why couldn't I join a muscle competition?
I think you could.
And if they weigh the interview, I'm a very good interview.
I'm sure
maybe I would do. I'd probably score a lot of points.
I'm sure you could. So go for it. Like, what are you waiting for? Stop yelling at me. Sign up. They'll take your money very quickly.
But at some point, I will have to be shirtless on stage.
Yes.
Flexing.
Yes.
I'm not prepared for that.
But that's on you then.
That's what I'm saying.
But you could.
I guess so.
But it does weed out the twerps. The twerps, rather. The twerps.
Right.
The twerps that can't do it, like you and me.
Yeah, it does weed out.
We don't belong up there with these guys that, who knows, they look like they're steroided out. I don't know if they are or they're
not. Oh, they definitely are.
But
they have to be.
HGH and
yeah.
Testosterone and all these different things. You know, here we are trying to live off of oatmeal and sweet potatoes.
Right.
Not going to get built and strong and built and fit like that.
And I was trying to pick out which girls I thought was going to win.
Right.
It was fun. I got to tell you, it was a fun night, Jerry.
Well, good for you.
You know what I kept saying to Gina? First of all, probably a lot of my comments wouldn't have, you know, I was going for jokes.
Just for the record, hanging out watching half-naked women on your computer screen was fun. You're kidding. why would that be fun?
And I said to her, I go, why are Jerry and I not hosting this? This is what I said to her, because the people that were hosting were terrible.
Oh, duds.
I said, don't I have a lot of good comments, you know, during this? She's like, yeah, I'm not sure your comments would really be great in this. You're judging women, you know, these are teenagers. The other
hey
thing
Al,
is,
nice ass.
The other thing, it was impossible to tell who the teenagers were.
Right.
And who the...
Because they all look so old.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, our friends have girls that are right around 13 now. And if you don't see them for a few weeks, the next time you see them, it's like, what the hell happened to you?
Right.
13 looks like 70. It is crazy. It really is. So you're telling me some of these girls might be 16, 17, 18 years old.
I think even the 15, I think they're allowed.
I can see how you can confuse it with a 25-year-old.
Yes.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Did it make you feel creepy when she said that's a teenager?
No, because I was watching a competition.
Oh, okay. That's a fair
one. I was trying to be a judge.
An honest answer.
I was trying to be a judge. I felt like I needed a laser pointer to point to the screen and say, what about here? You know, and the girls that I predicted, I'll tell you where I clearly don't have a pulse. Because I was saying to Gene, I go, listen, if I pick out the winners from early on, if I go, that girl's going to win, I said, I get to coach a girl next year. Like, I want to be able to coach a contestant.
Okay.
And she said, all right. None of the girls I picked won.
None.
No.
So she's clear. She doesn't have to worry about your ass next
year. They weren't
year.
Even top five.
Wow. See that?
That pissed me off.
I hear you.
Because I feel like I've got an eye for beauty contestants.
Well, I wish you good luck. Why don't you start your own consulting firm? You don't need her.
You're right, Jerry.
Just start it.
They'd be like, well, what is your qualifications?
I'd
be like,
I watch.
I watched one. Well, I watched the Miss New Jersey ones from 2 years ago. I watched a lot of those. So I felt like you know, there's a whole way you walk when you're in a pageant, Jerry.
I'm sure there is.
Pageantry.
I watched the show. What was the show? Legally Blonde? Is that what the show was?
That was a series you watched? The series or
no,
the
movie?
No,
the movie. Right, wasn't that all about
yeah,
the pageant?
That I don't remember.
With Murphy Brown? What was her name?
Candace Bergen?
Yeah.
That was Legally Blonde?
I think that was Legally Blonde. No, maybe it wasn't
Reese
Legally
Witherspoon
Blonde.
Was Legally Blonde.
Yeah, no. I'm thinking Alicia Silverstone.
Oh, okay.
I forget the name of the movie, but I'll find it before this podcast is over.
There was a Seinfeld episode where Kramer was... coaching a girl for Miss America.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he
I remember
felt like
that one.
He could tell her, show her the how to walk, how to show confidence, how to answer your interview questions.
Yeah, it was called. That's not right. Not book club. That's not it.
I do like the. I do like that you need a talent in Miss America. Because it's cool to, like, see girls come out and do sing opera, play the piano.
Right.
Juggle. Like, do something.
You want to see them do some Miss Congeniality.
Ah, yes.
That's it. I'm sorry. Sandra Bullock. Why am I thinking Alicia Silverstone?
Bullock.
Yeah. Because she was the FBI agent. I remember that, but I don't. Well, whatever. It's Miss Congeniality.
Okay.
That's where I learned about beauty pageants.
All about beauty pageants?
What do you got there?
Well, I have another article completely unrelated.
Oh, okay. All right, because we got the thing about the guy being eaten by the shark, too.
Oh, yeah. What was that one?
Guy went into the ocean in Brazil to urinate because he was drinking beers.
So he's on the ocean enjoying a beach day. He's in Brazil. He goes, let me go into the ocean.
Goes into the ocean with his buddy.
Okay.
They go in.
To pee together?
Well, not next to each other, but they went in.
Okay.
They were thigh high.
Thigh high.
Right, but high thigh.
High thigh.
Right. So it was like right before your waist.
They were going to crouch a little, crouch down a little bit.
That's what it sounds like. And he got eaten by a shark.
A shark just came up and ate him.
A shark came up, ate his, took his hand off, then attacked his leg. They pulled him back to shore, but it was no good.
Do they think it was the warm urine that drew the shark?
They did not say. That they didn't say. But be careful. That's all I'm
going
to say.
Yeah, I don't like when people pee in the ocean.
There's a couple things right now going on that are no good.
Okay.
The sharks, of course, with the oceans and these amusement parks. You see Great Adventures having issues this year? They've had like three instances.
I've seen nothing.
Yeah, I
like what are the incidents?
Issues with the rides. There was also one of these big fairs in Michigan where a ride got off the rails. Like, it's crazy. Man, I'm out. I like my feet on the ground.
Me too. I always wondered. I was always scared about those rides.
Well, especially the ones like the ones where they come in from out of town.
Well, like, I look at it two different ways. Ugh. So the ones that come in from out of town, who knows what's going on, right? But the ones like Great Adventure that just stay there all year round, like, we have harsh winters here.
We do.
We have harsh summers.
Yeah.
How, like, what's the breakdown of these items? Like, that's been, like, when a roller coaster has sat in 1 degree temperatures all winter.
Yeah.
Do we tune it up before we get going?
Well, they do, and I know they run them endlessly before they open the park. And keep in mind, you know, Great Adventure stays open now, like, through the fall.
Right.
And even into the early part of the winter, and they close for only a few months. Yes. And I believe they even do a holiday. Like, you can go there around Christmas time. They have it all lit up for Christmas. And then they open up again, I think, in March. So they're not closed very long. But I'll pass.
Yeah.
So, yeah, wasn't good. I'm hoping your story's better.
No, listen, a guy went into the ocean to pee and then got eaten. You got to be careful.
Yes.
This was just, I thought you would like this, Jerry, because you sometimes have trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
This was a UK doctor, Jerry. He's got a 6-step routine for a good night's sleep.
Six steps.
Six
already
simple
too
steps.
Much. All right.
Now, these are simple things. I want to see if you do these and what do you think of
okay.
those. So his very first thing he says is no caffeine after 2 p.m.
Correct. I have always done that.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've always
So you
done
won't
that.
Have like a coffee?
No, but you know what's funny about that? This is crazy to me.
Yeah.
This is where I tell you it really doesn't matter. Is on Fridays and Saturdays, I always get a late afternoon cup of coffee. Always. No issue. Go right to bed.
Yeah.
When I go on trips with Rutgers, the one thing I get very excited about, I don't know why, because they always have either Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks brewed coffee in the hotel. Like, I can't wait to put my bags in the room, go down at 8 o'clock for dinner, whether you eat or not. There's always coffee. Man, I love that. And then I pass out an hour later. So that it's weird. But if I do, it's almost like it's psychological. If I do it today at 4 o'clock and then I can't sleep tonight, I'll blame it on the coffee. But I do, for the most part, on work nights. I never drink coffee. After 9 a.m.
Yeah, there are some days, like on the weekends, like if the dog wakes me up at like 4.
Yeah.
Then I might stay up and have a cup of coffee, watch a little TV, then go back to bed.
Then you pass right out.
For 3 more hours.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. No phone before bed.
No, I always check before I go to bed to make sure I'm not missing something, or I know what I'm waking up to.
They do say, though, that the screen, like looking at the screen,
sure,
recharges
stimulates
you.
Your eyes.
Stimulates your eyes.
I don't look at it long.
Yeah.
But I scroll through Twitter for probably 60 seconds before I go to bed.
Before
that
bed.
Is true. Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, this could be keeping you up, Jerry.
Maybe.
This says 20 minutes before bed.
Okay.
No looking at the screen.
Okay.
The doctor has a process, he says, in which he can get you to fall asleep in 2 minutes. You relax all of your facial muscles, then leg muscles.
How do you do that?
If you have worries in your mind, like things running through your mind, Jerry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Start humming.
Write them down to get them off your mind.
I do write everything down.
Before trying to fall asleep. So you lay down, you write down everything you think you're going to think about before you go to sleep. You consciously relax your face muscles, Jerry. Your leg muscles.
I will tell you, when I had my heart issue, the cardiologist asked me to keep a log every day.
Is that right?
Said write for 3 minutes every night.
About anything?
So about your day. about any issues you have.
Really?
Yes. It was like keeping a diary.
How did that go?
It went for, I did it for like 6 months, and then I got bored.
Really?
Of it. I mean, because I was seeing him. I was going to see him every 2 weeks. So he would ask me, how's the journal going? It's fine. Are you really doing it? Yes. I wasn't going to fool around. If he tells me to do this, I'm going to do this. I did it for 6 months. And then I was like, what am I doing? I don't know if it helped or not. I think once I stopped hosting with Boomer, I was good. And that has nothing to do with Boomer. It just had to do with the grind of every day.
That's where you're having heart issues from?
That's when it started, yes. And so...
When you stopped hosting every day, the heart issues
That's
went
when
away.
It stopped.
Interesting.
Ironically enough. I think I was so stressed out. I'm not doing it once in a while, doing it every single day like I did. Yeah, and it stopped. Once I stopped, it stopped.
How long did you do that for?
Craig got arrested September what? September 8th or something?
Somewhere
like
in
that.
There, yeah.
And then I did it through December.
Wow. 3 months.
Yeah. Now, there were people that came in, like G came in for 2 days here. There were people that came in, but I did
a lot.
I did a lot of full weeks. That is true, yeah.
It almost killed you, this job.
No, it didn't. I did go to the hospital, though.
Right.
As you remember.
Right, because you're having heart troubles.
That's right. And then Greg worked the next morning.
Oh, right. Forgot about that.
Yes. Yep.
Blackout curtains, the doctor suggests, Jerry?
Sure.
Optimal temperature. What do you think that studies have shown?
98.7.
An optimal temperature for the room in which you're going to sleep in.
72 degrees.
66.
66? Yeah. That seems cold.
That does seem very cold.
Yeah, I like the room at 72.
72? Wow. Yeah. I like 71.
That's fine. I'd be good with that. I said, because we have the central air in the house, and it's good upstairs, much better upstairs in this house than my last house, but it's not perfect.
Right, downstairs is always where the action is.
Right. So I do have one of those single freestanding ones. Love it. In the bedroom, I put it to 72. Within 5 minutes, the room's 72.
Do you have to vent that out the window?
That one, yes. But it's not out the window.
But it's not a window unit.
No. It's literally like a 1x3 piece that goes into your window. You close the window, the screen stays down. It's perfect. Really very easy.
Oh, nice.
Got a little tube that runs to the window.
Yeah.
They're small. They don't take up a ton of space. Really good, actually.
You would recommend that?
Oh, I love those. Yeah.
And the doctor, finally, Jerry, the doctor says, have a physical alarm clock.
Yeah.
It's harder to click off than your phone. I don't know if I believe that.
Oh, I see. Wait, what's the point of falling asleep then?
No, he's saying, I don't know.
All right, because the whole idea was to fall asleep.
This was a 6-step routine for a good night's sleep. Step 6, physical alarm clock.
This Maybe. Makes it... All right, how about this? How about you don't stress out about it, missing the alarm?
Maybe.
And it makes you get up to turn it off and you're going to get up.
Yeah, that was a bad job by them.
It's a weird one. I only use my phone now. I don't even use the alarm clock as a backup anymore. I used to. I don't anymore.
Yeah, I same way. I used to use the backup.
Think about two things you thought would never go away. An alarm clock. Well, three things. Well, a lot of things. But an alarm clock.
Alarm clock.
A house phone.
Correct.
And Garmin. I always thought a Garmin GPS thing in the car. I'm like, what a great invention. This will never go anywhere. And now the phone is basically taking up everything.
Everything.
Yeah, it really is something.
The phone does everything.
Yeah, who knew?
All right, let's do the warm-up show.
All right.
It is next. So.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Good morning, campers.
Alan, Jerry, don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
All right, well, we'll try hard today on a Monday. It is a couple of minutes after 5 o'clock. Here we go, the warm-up show until 6, Boomer and Geo. Then we've got the Eddie Scazzeri along the way for the ride, and across from me is Al Michael Dukes. What's up, dude?
Oh, good morning, Jerry. It seems like every Monday when we come in here, we have some sort of stories about fans getting in the mix with ball games, whether they be basketball games, baseball games, and we had it again this weekend. Fans getting in the mix, Jerry. Fans throwing a baseball at a Red Sox outfielder.
And now that the fan's been banned from every major league park, good luck trying to figure that one out. But yes, at least they tried to do something.
I want to know how that works. I know everyone always brings that up where like a fan gets banned. Let's say he gets banned just from Yankee Stadium. That seems hard enough.
Yeah, sure.
But now you're saying he's banned from every ballpark?
Well, I would think, and I don't know this, but and I didn't read the story on how the ban goes into effect. I would think the first thing you do is you alert things like Ticketmaster and StubHub, not allowed to buy tickets. Now, in terms of him getting into a park with another ticket, facial recognition is the only way to do that. I know the Garden has that. I don't know about the stadiums.
I bet the stadiums. I bet nothing happens. I bet that guy could get into a stadium tonight if he wanted to.
Well, I mean, you get 50,000 people in certain parks.
Exactly.
So it would be very difficult to figure it out unless you have the facial recognition. Other than that, I don't know how you do it.
If I was that guy, I would make it my mission now to go to every ballpark and take a photo there.
right in the face.
I am in Baltimore. Try to ban me.
I guess you could do that.
These stadiums don't have face recognition
software. The Garden does. Matt, I actually know for a fact the Garden
does.
Is
that right?
Yes.
And it scans everybody's face who's walking in?
I don't understand how it works.
Yeah, me neither.
But I do know that they have it.
Hmm. That'd be so great. Like, you're banned. You can't come in here. You could come in, but your friend here, banned.
You got to get out.
Get out. You're banned.
Yeah, it was a weird weekend with that stuff. The stuff in Washington, it was a very odd weekend.
Very strange weekend. So the thing that happened in Yankee Stadium, this was a Saturday, right?
Yeah.
So the outfielder,
Alex Verdugo
threw a ball into the stands for a fan, for a child, for the children, Jerry. And of course, some lunatic adult caught it. And then when this Alex fella turned his back, he threw the ball back at him and hit him in the back. Oh, my back. And now you're banned. We don't know who he is, though, yet.
I haven't seen his name. I'm not saying it's not out there, but I haven't seen it yet.
I need his name, Jerry. I need his face.
Here's the problem with that,
though. I need to keep him banned.
You know what the problem is? Then he gets like, publicity.
Yes.
And he becomes known. And then it's almost like inviting other people to do it.
Like, do you want to be known as well? Being an outfielder in the back with a baseball.
The whole thing really is silly.
Let's try to describe what he looks like. I bet he has a beard.
You think he's got a beard?
Yeah, seems like a guy with a beard.
I think he
beard.
Was drunk. That's what I think.
The guy is drunk.
Yes, like Kevin Harlan would once say.
Yeah.
Beard. All right, I'll go bald instead.
Bald?
I'm
going to
say bald with glasses.
What?
I'm going to say a little scruff on his face.
Jerry.
And he likes the Replacements.
You're describing me.
Oh,
I did not
I'm
throw
sorry.
A baseball at a Red Sox player.
My bad. You're right, because first things first, you have to actually be at the game to do that. So
Jerry,
that's out.
I would love to go to games, but they ban me. I'm banned.
That would be a great excuse.
I'd love to go, but I'm banned.
I have an idea for you. I just had an idea for you. I think what you should do this weekend.
Yeah.
You live down the Jersey Shore.
I do.
I need you to go find a fishing boat or a party boat.
Okay.
Throw baseballs at the fish,
okay.
Get banned by all boats in the Northeast.
Then I can't go to the boat parade.
Bam. There you go.
That's my way out, Jerry. That's my way out from a long commute.
Well, you still got to go do the show.
Oh, got to do the show.
But you're not allowed
on
the boat.
You're banned.
Right.
You're banned from all boats. You're banned from all ballparks. You're banned from ever holding a baseball ever again.
That's it.
You're banned from having drinks when you go out.
Al, you're welcome.
Drunk. You banned. banned.
Yeah. And then last night, in the seventh inning, you got them flashing lights from... And I don't even know if we figured that out. A couple of things that were interesting to me about that. So I think it was LeMahieu who was hitting. And Christian Vasquez tells the umpire, he basically says, you know, something coming from... And the umpire didn't see it. So next pitch, it happens again. Vasquez tells the ump stops the game. Not that long, but for 4 minutes, 5 minutes, something like that. And so with what happened in Washington, with guys throwing baseballs at players in that series, they do the right thing. They try and figure it out. That's fine. But I love how, as they're discussing it, you got Vasgersian, you got A-Rod, and is it Buster Olney? I guess it was Buster Olney. And they say, well, you know, back in the day, you know, the White Sox were accused of doing that once. And, of course, the Giants and the Polo Grounds back in 1951, ha, 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 as they were relaying signs to the batters. Ha, ha, of course. That's fine, but let's rake the Astros through the coals.
Right.
And that was like a joke.
So it was what, like a bright light that
the
catcher saw in the outfield?
He saw the way I saw it described, like a laser flashed.
A laser.
Yeah, and that's freaky.
And then I heard Aaron Boone say that Gary Sanchez saw the same thing.
Yeah.
So I guess that was his way of saying, we're not flashing lights to our hitters.
I guess so.
What if it was aliens?
See, I wasn't even thinking that.
About space aliens?
It could have been aliens. I suppose it could have been aliens. I doubt it because I don't really believe in aliens. Not yet.
Eddie does.
I know he does. And that's fine. And I'm not saying they don't exist. I don't believe it to exist. To me, I was more thinking of the safety of it more so than balls and strikes and stuff like that. I wasn't even thinking that. Even when they talked about it, I wasn't going there. I thought it was more about, hey, is this a safe situation? So, turned out they finished the game. Everything was fine.
If it is aliens, ban them from the ballparks.
You banned.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
But Martians, you banned.
Then they might eat you or just, like, take your body Martians? Up to space. It's possible. How would you know? You don't even know what a Martian looks like.
Yeah, we do,
It's
Jerry.
Not kazoo.
They have big heads with those gigantic eyeballs.
How do you know?
And they wear silver outfits.
What if they look like the ones from Independence Day?
No, because the aliens have been looking the same since the caveman days. The cavemen have been drawing these aliens way back in the day. Paintings from the Renaissance era have UFOs in them. We've known these UFOs and these aliens look exactly like we think they do. They've got the silver heads, the big eyes.
Hmm.
And I love them all banned from all ballparks.
All right.
Face recognition software.
No aliens.
No aliens and no dudes throwing balls at players.
There you go. I think we got it covered.
Then the Yankee game Saturday, Jerry, that was more chaos. That game was called after six innings.
There was a lot of rain. Yeah.
The game was 52 minutes late to begin with because of weather. Then there were four more delays for replay reviews and another delay when the ump got hit with a fastball.
Right in the face.
Yeah, right off his face mask.
That's scary.
A fastball off the face mask?
Sure.
Did he? That mask stopped him from getting a broken face.
It does, but you get concussed.
And you still feel it, right?
Oh, I mean, the ball's coming anywhere
96,
from...
96, they said.
I was going to say anywhere from 90 to 100 miles an hour. I mean, that is jarring. Have you ever been hit? Did you ever catch in Little League when you couldn't play?
No.
You never caught. So you ever put the gear on?
I did put the gear on.
You ever get hit?
No.
I'll tell you, it can really shake you.
Yeah, and that's now, why I didn't want to do it, because I knew it would shake me.
I mean, sure.
I know I'm a weak man, Jerry.
Okay. That having been said, I mean, an umpire's back there. I mean, he's protected, but not really. You know, I mean, yes, he didn't break his face, but he could be out a week. Who knows?
Well, it's like that. Like you said, yeah, with catchers. Like, a catcher takes a foul ball off the face mask.
Yeah.
That could hurt, Jerry.
Of course it does.
That could cause a concussion. That could cause a neck sprain. I mean, baseball players are so fragile, it could kill a guy.
I don't know if it's going to kill a guy. And I know where you're going with that, but I don't think it's going to kill a guy.
In this day and age, Jerry, you never know with baseball players.
One other thing before you get to where I think you're going to go, because it surrounds the Yankees and Red Sox.
All right.
Did you see the story about Gerrit Cole at the All-Star game?
What did he do?
So J.D. Martinez is there, and he's with, you know, at the All-Star game, of course. I guess it's Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers, I think, are the two that tried to talk to Cole at the All-Star game. And it's Martinez that's relaying the story. I think he's telling, in the video, I think he's telling Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Teoscar, I forget his last name, of the Blue Jays, how Cole wouldn't shut off the whole Yankee-Red Sox rivalry, completely ignored them. They tried to say hello. They tried to talk to him. Head down, nothing.
Want nothing to do with those
so
punks.
That's old school. That's something like that Boomer will appreciate.
I love that.
Yeah.
You don't fraternize with the Boston Red Sox.
No, and he didn't. I think it was John Boy that had the video.
Yeah.
It's in Spanish, and they break it down, what they were talking about. And it was all about Cole and his just don't talk to me. And you're like, you're a Red Sox. That's awesome.
I watched the John Boy breakdown of the Marcus Stroman battle with the Pirates
Nagowski.
On Friday night, I think that one was.
John Nagowski.
Yeah.
The
and
big
John
Nagowski.
Boy had the video where he was showing what they were saying to each other. Filthy mouths on these baseball players.
You're kidding,
players,
really?
Jerry. Yeah. Why don't they just square up and have a fist fight? Neither one of them
never
really
happens.
Wants to fight.
I shouldn't say never. It rarely happens.
Yeah, and as I think John Boy pointed out, Stroman went right behind. No, I saw Big Cat from Barstool. Stroman went right behind his catcher immediately.
Right.
And then he's yelling at him while, what's the guy's name, Nogaskowski?
John Nagowski.
John Nagowski was playing first base?
Yes.
they're jawing at each other. Strowman, just run out there then.
I agree.
If not, shut your mouth.
No, they like to talk. And then, of course, the guys from the bullpen come sauntering in to do nothing.
They do nothing. Why doesn't the bullpen just fight each other out in the bullpen and they don't have to come
I suppose you could do that.
Just start throwing haymakers.
Although it's really not their fight.
Yeah.
The whole thing's goofy. I don't know.
Show of force, Jerry.
Support. I suppose. I don't know. It's goofy to me.
It is stupid.
Yeah. And it's funny to me.
Fight.
You know what's interesting, too, is you see it in football and hockey and in basketball, where there are rules about the extra guys that come in, and there are harsh rules.
You get penalized.
And baseball is never, like, why not just say, if you leave the dugout or you leave the bullpen, you're suspended for a week. All that nonsense, because nothing ever happens anyway.
Right.
All of that goes away. No one's going to leave the bullpen or the dugout, and it'll be left up to the two guys and the people on the field jawing back and forth. I guess you could say, well, there's nine guys on the field, I suppose, but...
They should do it like hockey fights. Let the two guys square off and fight, and when there's a chance to get in and break it up for safety, that's what you do.
I'm pretty sure they don't want the fight on the field.
They don't?
I don't think they do, although it would be tremendous drama.
Right. Nagaskowski should have just...
Nagowski.
Charged the dugout.
But you're confusing him with the building in Die Hard.
Nagasaki?
Right. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think so.
You're all confused.
I get very confused, Jerry. All these fans going crazy.
Yes.
Jerry, we come back. Let's talk about the Mets situation.
Oh, we can do. I figured you were going to go there when you were talking about players and blah, 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 blah. All right, so let's take a quick break. Stuff. First segment done. We got more to do. And then Boomer and Geo, it is an action-packed Monday right here on The Fan.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Al and Jerry, less talk. More rock.
All right, 20 after 5. What do you say? It is a Monday morning for you. The warm-up show until 6 as we hit on all topics. We did the first segment largely on the Yankees and Red Sox. Yankees won 2 out of 3 over the weekend, so not bad for them. Still 7 games out, but at least they didn't win the series. The Mets, they stink, and I know they won yesterday, but they lost 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh. I mean, ugh. And then your boy Edwin Diaz, oh my Lord, on Saturday night, good grief.
Tom. Edwin Diaz blew the game Saturday night. You had Taijuan Walker, whatever he was doing. When was that, Saturday?
It was yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah. Oh
my gosh, these weekend days run together, Jerry. Oh yeah, they had a day game yesterday.
Saturday they blew the big lead. Yesterday they came back from a big deficit.
They were down 6-0.
In the first inning. Yes, that was when Walker thought the ball was foul, swiped it away, gets into it with and the umpire was actually right. It was a fair ball. And him and you know, it was good to see though. Did you see any of this?
I did.
I thought Rojas flipping out, right or wrong, I thought it was good to see because for the most part I think Met fans have wanted to see that. And I don't know. It was a fiery side of him that we hadn't seen like really all year.
But it's weird when a guy gets fiery just to get fiery when you know he's in the wrong. It's silly.
But I don't think that I honestly don't think they thought they were in the wrong. I think the umpire was right for sure. But I think we had, first of all, especially on TV, we have the benefit of the camera right down the line that shows it. Now think of your Taijuan Walker. You're coming off the field towards the ball that's on the opposite side of the foul line. It's just barely grazing the foul. I guarantee you he thought that was a foul ball. And I'm sure Rojas thought the same thing.
So it was bases loaded, a dribbler down the third base line,
yes.
Which Taijuan Walker thought the ball was foul, and for whatever reason runs over there and tries to scoop it up.
He wasn't scooping it up. He was batting it to touch it to kill the play. Foul ball. That's what you're taught. A dribbler because you have no play. The play's
dead.
Why
are you taught to?
Because otherwise, the run scores. You want to touch the ball in foul territory so you can go to the next pitch. Otherwise, run scores, it's infield single.
If it comes back into play.
No. Because if it comes back into play.
If a dribbler goes foul and stays on the other side of the line, it's a dead ball.
It's not a dead ball until you touch it. That's why he swiped it out to touch it to make sure it was a foul ball so it did not come back into play like you're saying.
But if it dies there, then it's a foul ball.
It's got to die there, though, yes. The ball is still moving.
But he went running over to it like.
Yeah, to get it out because they had no play. You want it to be a foul ball because you don't want to just give up a crappy run like that. Instead, you get it wrong and give up three crappy runs.
Right, so he tries to swipe it away.
Right.
Boots it. They call it a fair ball, and instead of going after the ball, he argues with the ump.
Right. Well, at first, before he argues, he was walking back like it was a foul ball. Then when he realized they called it fair, he sprinted to the ball and then went right to the umpire.
Yeah, but it just seemed like he was more interested
into the umpire.
Arguing with the ump, yeah.
It was a foul ball in his mind. He was wrong.
They should have lost that game because of that, but they came back down 6-0.
You know what? Things have a way of evening things out because they should have never lost the game on Saturday.
So we call it even.
I will call it even, yes.
Now they play in Cincinnati tonight.
Reds are good, too.
Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. Shocking, right?
Someone named Vladimir Gutierrez.
Yeah.
You see the way I say that, Jerry?
Yes, very average. Pretty much average like the pitcher that's pitching for the Mets.
Jared Eichhoff.
Correct. Both ERAs in the fours. Mm.
Jerry, when Jared Eichhoff and Vladimir Gutierrez get together, we throw out the records. This is a battle for the ages.
All right, I'll give you a quick over-under.
Over-under. All right, Jerry.
Do either of these pitchers go over 5 2/3 innings tonight?
No.
Okay.
Under both.
You're taking the on both of them, you're taking the under.
Both of these clowns, Jerry.
I think I would probably agree with you.
And reasons I hate baseball.
Everything?
Yeah. Yeah, everything. Jacob DeGrom to the IL.
Yeah.
With tightness in his right forearm. And then Lindor is on the IL with an oblique strain.
Which could be God knows how. Those oblique strains, man.
That's what I heard Keith Hernandez saying. Oh, when they were showing the slow motion of him.
Yeah.
Fouling a ball off. Did he foul a ball off or hit a ball? I know he...
The thing that concerns you is the oblique sometimes can be something that's 10 days and can be 2 months. You've no idea. You really don't. Now, I know with Lindor, they haven't... You know, he's batting 220 or whatever it is. It's not like they're losing a 400 hitter. But he has been great at shortstop. He really has.
I don't even know where the oblique is.
Isn't the oblique under your armpit? Belly? I thought it was under your armpit. I thought it was here.
Wrestlers get their obliques hurt all the time. They still fight.
Yeah, well, they're wrestlers. Hockey players, I'm sure, would play with an oblique as well.
I'd go right to the oblique if I was a wrestler. I'd attack my opponent's oblique.
You would go anywhere the guy is injured.
Yeah,
if it's football, it doesn't. If you were pitching, you'd throw at the oblique.
Oh, my gosh, Jerry. If I was pitching against Lindor when he comes back, I'd hit him right in the oblique.
Think an umpire can ump with an oblique injury?
Yes.
I guess they'll make the call, though.
Yeah, still got to make the call.
All right, right-handed call ump.
Yeah.
Right side oblique.
No, you got to go lefty then with the oblique.
He's going out there. Oh, you got to turn.
Oh, the oblique.
Hmm.
And this Jacob DeGrom, I'm sick of him already.
I get it. Sick, I can't argue with you.
Sick. Nothing's wrong with you.
Now,
you
I will say this. If something comes out that something is wrong with him, someone needs to be fired. Because this is like the fourth time. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Just get out there and throw the ball.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to for a couple weeks.
My oblique, my forearm. God almighty. Jerry, I can't take it anymore. I read these Mets.
It's a good thing you don't watch.
Stupid. This is why I can't watch.
Like, could you imagine how upset you would be if you were actually invested in every game?
No, this is why I stopped investing in every game.
Right, I hear you.
A couple things really pissed me off. Salaries, which I know everyone says, who cares? I care. And nonstop injuries for no reason.
Yeah, it's a lot of them.
It's boring.
It's a lot of them.
Pitch. Play.
And here's the other thing, too. You don't even play four out of every five games.
Right.
Think about that.
The guy got the longest rest ever before the All-Star game, at the All-Star game.
You know what was interesting was Luis Rojas was on with Carton and Roberts on Friday.
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock. And they were asking about, like, Evan could not believe that DeGrom wasn't pitching Friday or Saturday. And then when Rojas is like, I think Rojas told him he wasn't pitching in the series. Evan couldn't believe it. And then what made it worse was that he wasn't even in Pittsburgh at the time of the interview. And Evan's like, where is he?
Yeah.
Like, why is he not here? So, yeah, it was an interesting interview. Evan almost lost it with the manager.
I'm trying to think, like, in 1980s baseball, which I bring everything back to, Jerry.
Yes.
I know I do this.
All right.
In 1980s baseball, maybe we just didn't get all the information
and it
wasn't nonstop.
That is true.
But, like... Did Doc Gooden miss multiple games?
For drug use.
He did?
Yeah, he had drug issues. You remember that? Remember with Craig?
Oh, yeah. No, I yes. But I'm saying, okay, injuries.
Let's see.
Let's take drugs off the table, Jerry.
I don't drugs know for don't injuries. Do I don't remember. Let's see. I'm going to try and find that for you, though. But I'm
like,
with you
Doc
that
Gooden
most
like,
of...
Oh, Doc Gooden's forearm hurts.
Most of these guys made their 35 starts a year.
Yes.
It's 100% true.
Stop it already. Doc Gooden was doing drugs and was able to pitch.
All right, so here we go.
I'm talking about Jerry. You know what
Doc
I'm saying?
Gooden. Here's, Doc Gooden. Here are Doc Gooden's game starts, all right?
Yeah.
All right.
Men were men, Jerry.
It was 85 that was the big year?
85.
Yes, 85 was the big year when he was 24-4, ERA of 1.53.
Oh, take that, Jacob DeGrom.
35.
Oh, he's the greatest pitcher ever. No, he's not. He's not even the best pitcher the Mets ever had. Doc Gooden is.
No, he wasn't. Doc Gooden was not the greatest pitcher
Jerry.
The Mets ever had. Doc Gooden had one of the greatest years of a Mets pitcher
right,
ever,
exactly.
But not the best pitcher the Mets
not
ever
a
had.
Wuss.
35 starts in 85, 33-86. 25-87, and I think that was drug related. I think, but I could be wrong about that. Only 19 starts in 89. Came back with 34 starts in 90.
Yes.
27 starts in 91. So we certainly missed a few there. 31 and 92. See, I would say just looking at this, especially if I'm right about 87, which is not, I don't believe was injury related. I do believe that was drug related. He was 32-plus starts in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of his first 7 seasons. One, I believe, was drug-related. So 5 of 6, let's say.
All right.
And then towards the latter part of his career with the Mets, he kind of fell off a little bit. 27, 29, 94, only 7 starts. So that
What's
was
the Grom doing?
Here.
How many starts is he getting here? 7?
No,
oh, my forearm.
He's getting more than 7. Let's see if
oh,
I get
my rotator cuff.
DeGrom. Let's see.
Oh, my groin.
I don't think he's had a groin. Hold on.
God.
That could still happen, by the way. All right, so Jacob
Get
DeGrom
on the mound.
Now. As we know, he's had Tommy John surgery already. So game starts for DeGrom by a year. I'll pick it up from 2015. 30, 24, 31, 32, 32. Not as bad as
What's
I thought it was.
This year?
This year is 15 so far.
Ugh.
So he was on pace. I believe Evans said going into the weekend with the Bucks. There were 19 opportunities in the rotation for him to start, which would have put him at 34. But now, I don't know what it's going to be. He's only made 15 starts so far.
Bring Doc Gooden back, Jerry. That's what I want.
You could do that. I don't know that that would work
Get
out so well
Get him on the mound.
Right
he won't complain
Get
about
him
his
here.
Forearm. Get him here.
Give me an 80s pitcher that you liked. Just pick an 80s pitcher.
All right, Jerry. Give me Jack Morris.
Oh, Jack Morris pitched 10 innings in a... Freaking playoff game for
oh,
God's sake!
Oh, I guess he didn't count.
No, Jack Morris,
Jerry. I'll give you one, Jerry.
Okay, Pascal Perez.
Give me Pascal Perez.
Where did you pull that name out?
Because that guy used to be trouble for the Mets.
That's pretty
that
good.
Punk.
All right, Pascal Perez. I'm going to pull up his game starts.
He was a badass too, Jerry.
All right, you ready?
Mess with him, and he was thin.
Not so great, actually.
What?
So. Perez, and I'll pick it up in 81.
All right.
17 starts, 11 starts, 33-83.
Oh, he crushed it in 83.
30-84.
Yup.
Wow, in 1985. Are you kidding? 22 starts. He was 1-13.
That's my main man, Pascal Perez.
With an ERA of 6.14.
Right, no, Jerry's probably injured and one didn't wuss out.
In 1987, he made 10 starts. He was 7-0, though, in 1987.
Let's go back to my Jack Morris take instead. That's probably better.
Boy, he stunk, huh? That's pretty funny.
Jack Morris there, Jerry.
All right, I'm going to... Now, before looking at this,
yeah.
I'm going to say he had 30-plus starts in 90% of his seasons.
I'm going to say, Jerry, he started 81 games. Every other game
he
was out
He didn't start
there.
81 games.
Throwing
relax.
Complete games.
All right, you ready?
Like
Here we
man.
Go. Here we go. Starting in 1978.
78.
No, let's start in 79 when he's really a starting pitcher.
All right.
27 starts. You like this one. 36 starts in 1980. 25-81. 37-82. 37-83. 35-84. 35, 35,
yeah.
34,
That's
34.
Man,
now he gets into his 30s. Now he's 34 years old, only 24 starts in 89. He comes right back in 1990, 36 starts.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
35 starts in 91 and 34 in 92.
By the way, DeGrom, your forearm should be tight. You're throwing a baseball.
102 miles an
yes,
hour on top of it.
That's part of it.
Wow.
You rest all offseason.
How about
this? You
rested
for the All-Star game.
Jack Morris in 1983. Talk about how baseball has really changed. And this is 1983, not 1933.
Correct, Jerry.
How many innings do you think you threw?
The golden era of baseball.
Now, I'll give you 37 starts in 83.
Yeah.
How many innings do you think you threw?
I don't know.
Well, right now, if you throw 200 innings in a season, it's like, wow, he threw 200 innings.
Okay.
293 innings.
Right.
His record was 20-13, which means he was the pitcher of record in 33 of 37 games, which tells me he pitched probably 8 innings a game.
He probably didn't even make the All-Star team that year. That's when baseball players are baseball players, the 1980s, Jerry.
No, I think
he did.
Pretty sure he did.
Every 1980s team up against these wuss players from today.
He did not make the All-Star game in 83.
Exactly.
He made it in 84.
He only had 20 wins. we're not even interested in you. You're average.
He made it. He did make it in 84, though. So 83 was the 293 innings. 84, he was 19-11. He made the All-Star game.
But no worries, so. Jerry. Jacob DeGrom is frustrated. He's just like us, Jerry, frustrated.
Yeah, Met fans are frustrated, no doubt. All right, we're going to take a break. It is 5:34, Boomer and Geo.
He's like Noah Syndergaard. Go away then.
You almost forget about him, don't you?
Of course you do.
It really is something.
Hi, I'm Jacob DeGrom.
But then again, Seth Meyers had him on, so we remember him again. Quick break, halfway home, Boomer and Geo at the top, warm-up show, till then on The Fan.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
That you tried today, but a year to
number
make gloves,
she
wanted you to
gym.
Wait. Let me tell you a story of my situation.
Died,
I was talking to
this
girl
about
from
this.
The
this
U.S.
Like my,
nation. The way
my
that
high school
I met
years.
Her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short mini skirt.
I used to know how to play this on the piano. Maybe you'll do a tribute later this afternoon to him, Jerry.
For Whimsy? Like, who are you doing the tribute for?
Biz Markie.
I know, but
no,
who's going to hear it?
I put it on social, Jerry.
Oh, great.
Did you say digital?
He's only 57.
Yeah. Diabetes, I think. He had complications, though.
That is really scary.
This guy was fun. You, like me, Jerry, fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I think of when I think of you.
Yeah. I think I can do that later today. Let's make a note in my phone.
What else are you doing? Put a note in your phone. What, but, all right, it's Monday. You're going to go to Stop and Shop.
I am.
What else?
Well, that's enough. Plus, I worked all day.
You got what I need. Okay. When you say I'm just a guy. When you say I'm just a guy. Oh, baby, you. You got what I need. When you say I'm just a guy.
Come on.
When you say I'm just a guy. Well, now. What year was that?
2015.
Wow.
Only 6 years ago, Jerry.
Not bad. I have no recollection of that. Wow. Well, very sad that he has left us.
I don't know any of his other songs. He's
Nor do I.
A song called Vapors is his second most popular. Then
I didn't know he was from Jersey, too.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I read that.
All the great musicians, Bruce Springsteen, Frank Sinatra, Biz Markie, they all come from New Jersey, Jerry.
I actually had a disagreement with my wife on Saturday. We were out with friends, and I mentioned Bruce Springsteen and how we went to a Bruce Springsteen concert once. But before I could tell the story, she goes, I don't know who you were with, but I never saw a Bruce Springsteen concert. I'm like, except for the time that you went to the Bruce Springsteen concert with me. Long story short, she was so defiant that she never went to a Bruce concert. I realized on Sunday morning, I can check my email. Just search Springsteen. Emails came up. We went in 2009 at Giant Stadium.
Reunion tour.
Yep, Giant Stadium. And in the email chain was an email from her also thanking our friend for the invite.
Nice.
So I sent that right back to her, and she goes, wow, I guess I saw Bruce. It was really memorable.
How dare you people.
I do remember it was a rainy night. We left halfway through because we were soaked.
Is that right?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, it was a lousy night.
Mm-hmm. I would have stayed in the rain.
Of course you would have. I would not.
Biz Markie had another song called Nobody Beats the Biz. That's funny. Then how about this one, Jerry? See if you, this is a song you think you might like. Pickin' Boogers is the name of a song. Then he had another song called Pancakes and Syrup.
I think I know that one.
He's got some good stuff.
Well, you don't know any of them.
Well, I know Just a Friend.
Right. I think Pancakes and Syrup you might know.
And the Boogers song sounds good already.
You've never heard it before.
Just by the name, Pickin' Boogers is a great title.
No chance.
Great title for a song.
Yeah.
Let's see, Jerry. Remember we talked the end of last week about Pro Football something or other went back and looked at the sacks pre-1982.
Yes. And they got the numbers.
They got the numbers, and Deacon Jones was killing it. And a couple
and this
other
I don't
people.
Understand.
But now the NFL says they do not plan to make that official.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
That to me doesn't make much sense.
Because they want Michael Strahan to have that Fugazi sack record. That's why.
Yeah, I guess. I just, to me, if you've got it and you've got the footage.
Yes.
And it was done the right way, and I'm sure you could get someone to confirm what they've done, why would you not acknowledge it?
Give Deacon Jones.
His
give
due.
Al Bubba Baker, the man who's dominating the world with ribs now.
Yeah.
Give him his sack due.
I agree.
Sacks, Jerry.
I want to know how many sacks Harvey Martin had.
Yes. Tally it up.
Right, I agree.
Go back and watch all the games, Jerry.
Kinda
tally
silly
that
to me.
Up.
Kind of silly.
And Colts owner Jim Irsay.
I think this is really cool.
He bought a piano that was used for decades by Elton John on tour. He paid $915,000.
Less money than I thought it would be.
Same here.
I thought it would have been in the millions.
Yes.
I mean,
this
it's
is Elton John
piano. Right.
Like a regular, like I've been to the Steinway store. I think one of the Super Bowls we went to is either Arizona or San Francisco.
I think Houston. Oh, was it? Oh,
it was
okay.
Definitely not Houston.
Okay.
We were walking around and there was a Steinway, a piano store. And we went in and I was banging around on some of the pianos. Some of the pianos in there were like $200,000.
Right.
And Elton John didn't own it.
Right.
Or play it.
$900,000. I would have thought it would have been a couple million dollars.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Now, was that an auction? Or
yeah, it was
he
like
just...
an auction.
I'm surprised.
Why would Elton John... It's always weird to me when guys sell cool stuff. Like, why is Elton John selling that piano?
Does he need the money?
I don't think so.
I know you say that, but...
Imagine
I mean,
if Elton John
needed
money.
How's Phil Collins doing these days?
Well, he got divorced.
I know that. I feel like... I heard Elton John with Howard Stern last summer.
You're right.
I feel like there was some issue in his life financially.
Well, yeah. That's why he went back on tour. You're right.
Right.
Imagine you're Elton John and you run out of money.
Imagine you're Elton John and you run out of money and you can make $900,000 in 2 seconds.
What about that piano over there?
Let's get rid of that.
Just sell that.
The outfit from Candle in the Wind.
Yeah.
That's got to be a couple $100,000. Yeah. I think there was some financial issue.
I do
some of these guys, man, my gosh.
Hearing Elton John also, but it might have been in that same interview where he was talking about, you know, he used to wear crazy outfits.
Yeah.
You know, he would wear that duck outfit one time. He dressed in a Dodgers uniform all filled with diamonds. And he said, like, watching a guy play the piano was boring.
I
mean,
I
the
loved
guy's
it.
In a duck suit or something. At least it's
now it's something interesting.
Now it's something to look at.
But it's good, though, because it gives you an insight into what he was thinking and why he did it.
Yeah.
Because... like you, I'm sure. You're looking at him like, what the hell are you doing? Now you see why.
Right. You're in front of a stadium full of people playing the piano. You
right.
better look. You better not be in a t-shirt and jeans.
No, he's not dancing around. Are there? You saw him live, right?
I've
many
never
times?
Seen him live.
So I saw
Zero
him with
times.
Billy Joel that year when they went on tour together, but we were so far away. I don't even remember. I had to have been in the, mid-90s maybe, I want to say. We saw him at Giant Stadium, another Giant Stadium concert. And I don't remember, is he the type that's running around the stage when he's not on piano?
Well, I think he's always on the piano.
But does every song have the piano in it?
I think so.
So I'm Still Standing has the piano
oh,
in
yeah.
it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I'm Still
Saturday
Standing.
Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting. Does that maybe
piano.
Not have it?
No, I think he sits at that piano.
Interesting.
Because I've watched some stuff on YouTube, even in like the peak years.
Right.
Where he's, just jamming out on that piano.
Hmm. All right.
How about that, Jerry?
He's got his final tour coming up next year.
Is that right?
We gave away tickets. Do you not remember?
Oh, yes. I would go see that, I think.
I would, too.
But I like him.
I don't know that I'm spending $250 on a ticket.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I like that he's like seems ornery now also. I like older, ornery men.
That seems to happen to a lot of guys like yourself. Just saying. How much do you think the tickets were for the Bruce concert in 2009? And I only say it because you see what concert tickets cost right now.
$75.
Yeah. It was actually $78.
Nailed it, Jerry.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Which sounds cheap to me right now, which is crazy.
Yeah, you would love to spend $75 on a ticket.
Man.
I see the Blue Jays will be allowed to go back to Toronto, Jerry.
It's about time.
Later this month.
Will Boomer be allowed to go to Toronto?
I don't know. They're getting a special exemption, the Blue Jays are. To go back to Toronto. You think they want to go back or they'd rather hang out in Florida?
I think, well, if they were in Florida, they'd like Florida. Right now they're in Buffalo, so I would say probably they'd like to be in Toronto.
What?
Do you pay attention to anything?
Listen, Jerry, now that you say it, I remember they're in Buffalo.
Holy
but they were in Dunedin, Florida.
New game, Eddie. From now on, can you keep tabs on things in sports that Al is completely clueless on?
That's not true.
It would be a shorter list and easier if we did the things he's right about.
Like 1980s sports?
No. Current things.
Oh, current things.
I know. It's more fun to do it this way, though.
No, you're right. I do remember when the Yankees played them. They played up in Buffalo. Yes. So we talked about
remember the
about
guy
the
walking across the street with the foul ball?
Yes.
He was hit by a car.
We talked about visually how it looked a little weird.
Yes.
Right. So they're going to go back to Toronto.
I think they probably want to go to Toronto.
They do.
Yeah, but they're in Buffalo.
That's true.
You want to be in the bigger stadium with more fans, I would think.
And Buffalo sounds like it stinks.
Why?
Compared to Toronto.
I was there once. It was very nice. But I was also there in the fall before it got too cold. So I don't know.
I took a job in Buffalo once.
For a day. And then woke up and realized you took a job in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Could you imagine you in Buffalo?
Well, that's what Chris Oliveira, who now runs the cluster here in New York, I told him I took a job in Buffalo to be the program director of WGR.
Wow.
And he goes, you do realize that, like, on a random Saturday morning, you're waking up in Buffalo, right? I was like, oh, my God.
Maggie's from Buffalo. She loves it.
Well, if you're from somewhere, you like, people aren't from New Jersey don't want to come hang out in New Jersey.
Right, the Jersey Shore.
Were you engaged at the time you took the job?
I was not engaged.
That would have been great. You married in Buffalo.
Talk about a different path.
Do you know what? Because I got a contract sent to me to sign.
Right.
For that job, what it paid to
be the program director?
To run the radio station in Buffalo.
$34,000.
It was $40,000.
Oh, 40.
What year?
2003.
Was that an intercom station?
It was at the time.
You know who was? Andy Roth was up there.
I thought he still was.
No, he's
in Cleveland now. That's right. I forgot. Right.
So, yeah. And I remember there was a bonus structure, Jerry, for if I had the station at number one, I think I got $1,000.
Well, listen, when you're making 40 grand, $1,000 ain't so bad.
That was the right move.
And wings.
Him telling me, that sounds.
Yeah, I hear you. Cool, though, to be the boss.
Yeah.
But that would not have went well for you.
But I remember when I went up there, this 2003, 2004, some of the ideas they liked at the time, the guys that were on the station, I told them I would do no guest and I would eliminate the updates. They were like, interesting.
Okay.
I would have been really popular.
Interesting, because you're going to save the money.
Yeah.
Right. That's you're perfect for the job, you bastard.
That would have been like WIP then.
Right. Just going up there eliminating positions.
IP has guests, though.
Yeah.
They do. Quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. We'll get you to Boomer and Geo on a Manic Monday, as someone once sung back in the day. Right now on Odyssey Sports Minute with Amy Lawrence talking about Alex Cora at the stadium.
It's the dynamic duo of Al and Jerry, the superheroes of WFAN.
All right, welcome back. Got a couple more minutes for you until we get to the Boomer and Geo. Yankees beat the Red Sox on Sunday Night Baseball 9-1. Mets came back on Sunday and beat the Pirates 7-6. No basketball tonight as the NBA Finals resumes tomorrow.
I saw Saturday night, Jerry, at the NBA Finals. LeBron James was sitting courtside, and he had a bottle of tequila under his seat.
And I know he can do whatever he wants. That's weird, though.
A whole bottle of tequila?
Like that.
Was he drinking it from the bottle?
Some things, I don't know. That just doesn't look right. It means he either bought the bottle at the arena or brought the bottle into the arena, which should not be allowed no matter who you are.
They claim he brought the bottle into the arena himself, but he's LeBron James.
And he can do whatever he wants.
I've been listening to country music a lot lately. It's the genre of the summer, Jerry.
Right, I know. I've heard you say that. I don't disagree with that.
There are so many songs about tequila.
Right.
Like, it's nonstop.
Yes.
Tequila this, tequila. And then the other thing with country music, they're all play on words.
Mm-hmm.
And to combine the two, there's a song called to kill a little time with you. But oh, they use tequila. Like, this is what country music is.
It's alcohol and dating.
It's all about alcohol and sort of wordplay.
Mm-hmm.
And they combine
and a lot
the
of
two
relationship stuff, right?
Yeah. But it's mainly involves around
a
whiskey.
Lot of rhymes.
Whiskey and tequila.
George Thorogood made the alcohol songs popular.
Right.
Bourbon, scotch, and a beer.
Right. One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Yes.
You're right. George Thorogood straight up referenced
I Drink
the
Alone.
I Drink Alone. Right?
That song, I know it's a sad song if you listen to it. It's a great song, though.
But he does it rocking style.
He does. And he also, if you're not familiar with different bourbons and alcohols, you know them all after that song.
They say sometimes, Jerry, in songwriting, you write sad songs, but put it with happy music. Write happy songs and lyrically make the lyrics sad.
Okay. Is that what you've learned when you've been writing your music?
Unfortunately, I don't write, but I did hear Bruce Springsteen say that once. Like, his song Hungry Heart, for example, is like, it's a happy-sounding song, but it's all about a guy leaving his family.
But he's very lonely.
He leaves his family. Abandons them.
What percentage of artists would you say write about their own experiences, as opposed to ones that have songs written for them? Like, a lot of the country songs are written for them.
Yeah, there's like this whole group of Nashville writers.
Right.
Put out hit song after hit song after hit song. But Bruce Springsteen writes his own songs. But as you said, which bothered you.
It did.
When he said he writes about characters, like Mr. Imus does characters. He writes about characters, and he's not necessarily the guy in the song.
Right, and it's not about him.
It bothered you.
Well, it did, because listening to that music for years and years and years, you think he's writing about personal experiences. When he's talking about driving on Highway 9, you think, wow, this
Listen
is Bruce when he was
6,000. Listen and win field-level tickets to see the Yankees and Mariners at Yankee Stadium on August 7th. It's a Jersey Mike's Monday box office blitz until 6 p.m. Exclusively on The Fan, 101.9 WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York. Streaming on the Odyssey app.
An Odyssey station.